The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, everyone. More on Tua coming in the show with his OC resigning today. Why the people concerned about Tua's future just need to pump the brakes on that. The hire they need to make as well. Keyshawn Johnson's here, Dan Orlovsky as well. And of course, Marcus Spears and Dan Graziano. We begin with news out of Cleveland. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski tested positive for COVID-19. Will miss Sunday's wild card game against the Steelers. That means Alex Van Pelt will call plays in his place. Everyone continues to hold their breath, hoping no more positive tests out of Cleveland. So let's get to this with Dan Graziano. What do we know, Graz, about the Browns situation right now?
No positive tests in today's round of testing. So that's a good thing. But you said it. They're hoping for no further positive tests. They'll get another report tomorrow morning on today's test, another report Friday morning on tomorrow's tests. And if they continue to come back negative, then everything's okay. They can start opening up the facility, get to practicing. Obviously, the people who tested positive can't be there. And any one who is identified as a high-risk close contact of those people have to sit out all week, but should be able to play in the game. So it really comes down to how the testing goes over the next couple of days. If you start to see an outbreak that looks like it's spreading throughout the team, that is when the league has to start thinking about a postponement and other arrangements for this weekend's game. But if you don't see that, then the game will go ahead as scheduled, even though the Browns are obviously shorthanded in some key spots.
Yeah, Coach Stefanski addressed the media via Zoom today. Take a listen to what he said.
Did you guys ask, you know, hey, this is unprecedented, this is a playoff game, did you ask if you would be able to communicate? Did you guys try?
Yeah, I don't know, Nate. I know what the rules are, and I'll follow them.
All right, so Dan, clear this up for us. What exactly can and can't Stefanski do on game day for the Browns?
Yeah, I checked in with the league on this yesterday, actually. On game day, he can have contact via phone or video chat with the team on Sunday right up until kickoff, as long as that call takes place in the locker room. They can't have him out on the field on the phone or FaceTiming anybody out there. But he can talk to the team in the locker room via telephone or via FaceTime. So he could give a pregame speech, right, over, you know, kind of like you and I are talking now. But once the ball is kicked off, he cannot have contact with the team until after the game ends. Can't talk to them at halftime or anything like that. And certainly can't be, you know, calling plays or sending them in via text or anything like that. So it's up until kickoff, and it has to take place in the locker room.
All right, Dan Graziano with us all show long. And the Browns already face a tough task against the Steelers this Sunday. Now, of course, as we said, they'll be doing it without their head coach. Cleveland has lost 17 straight road games against the Steelers. That's the third longest road losing streak against a single opponent in NFL history. The last time the Browns won in Pittsburgh was week 5 of the 2003 season. And Baker Mayfield, in case you're wondering, he was 8 years old at that point. So, Dan, do you think that Stefanski can still put his fingerprints on this game plan, even though he won't actually be there physically to call the plays?
Absolutely, and that's the way to describe it. Put your fingerprints on it. And we know this. I said this yesterday, that he's going to script the first quarter. What does that mean? So they're going to watch tape of how defenses want to start games. What do they do with their first third and three or first third and eight of the game? He'll have that all scripted in the first quarter. That's the only quarter that you truly know you can impact the football game. Empty the chamber. You know, like, this is the only way that your football team wins this game is open up a 14-0 lead. So we've seen this, though. Like, we've seen the reverse and then the reverse pass and the shot from Jarvis Landry to Odell. We've seen the ability for Jarvis to get the ball again on some reverses, throw back to Baker Mayfield. I mean, this is stuff that they need to use early on in this football game, because that's the only time that he can bank on, I know I'll impact that game. So come out super aggressive. That's that script for your offense. If they open up a 14-0 lead because of the way he can impact the game early on, I think they got a shot. It would be a miracle, but that's the only miracle shot that they have, is Stefanski's got to empty the chamber early on.
If you're going to do that, that tells me that you can't beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you have to have trick plays to even be able to get up. The interesting thing, though, Dan, is Kevin Stefanski not being there is going to be significant on Baker Mayfield. Sure, Baker Mayfield is where he's at now because of that. Although Alex Van Pelt is his quarterback coach, and Alex Van Pelt has called plays before in 2009 when he was an offensive coordinator. Now it's his sole problem.
Yeah.
But one of the things that a lot of people have to understand, when you have somebody like a head coach, offensive play caller, talking to you on a consistent basis, pregame, halftime, before the game, on the bus ride, locker room, all of those sort of things, that's something that you want. In 2000, I had a receiver coach that missed a game.
Yeah.
And I had to try to figure out, navigate how to warm up, how to do certain things without him. We go to the sidelines. I'm looking for him, Dan. I'm trying to figure out.
Different voice in your ear.
Different voice in my ear. That's tough. And I think that this is going to be tough on Baker Mayfield. Although I believe he can get through it, it's going to be tough.
Look, I wanted to actually be a positive guy today and not – have doom and gloom.
2021, man.
You must have got a scratch off, a lottery scratch off that went well or something.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Listen, what if you know, what if I told you, like, our 30 for 30s, Baker Mayfield balled out? Think about what that would do to the narrative. Baker has had those seminal moments this year already. Obviously, going into the Tennessee game, we asked, could he ball against who we perceive to be a really good team? And then against the Baltimore Ravens, going toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson and making enough plays in order to give his team an opportunity to win, a lot of off-script, off-schedule type plays, him just making things happen. But, man, if Baker does this in the first playoff game of his career, after all of the things he's been through, after me, one of his biggest critics, see, if he goes and beats the Pittsburgh Steelers without Kevin Stefanski, he plays well, leads this team in those crunch time situations, even from a mental standpoint. If Baker puts his stamp on this game, our whole conversation changes. I will forget all of the bad things I said about Baker Mayfield if he goes out and has success and is able to get the Cleveland Browns a win in this game.
I'm letting you know right now, if Baker Mayfield leads them to a win, I'm going to be a fool on television Monday morning with you, or Monday afternoon. I will be a fool on TV with you if that happens.
You'll be a fool already on TV no matter
totally
what. Hey, by the way, would have to do it against the Steelers defense. It's been getting to quarterbacks, too, by the way. After this season, they're recording the highest pressure percentage by a team in the last decade. Also, this will mark the fifth playoff matchup since the 1970 merger that the NFL's rushing leader faces off against the NFL's number one rushing team. So each of the past four instances have ended up with the rushing champion winning, including last season when the divisional round had Derrick Henry and the Titans knocking off the Ravens. In that game, remember, Henry recorded 195 yards, 10 more than the entire Ravens team. So last year was last year, but Marcus, what are D-line coaches telling the Ravens about trying to stop Derrick Henry this weekend?
Oh, no doubt. Make him shuffle his feet. Els, listen, we all know it's easier to get on a train when it's first about to take off than it is to try to run one down when it's going a little bit faster. And that's Derrick Henry. He gets to your second level, he's going to be devastating. He's probably going to wreck the game. And for all intents and purposes, you're going to lose the game. But I know Calais Campbell has been in this league long enough, and he knows that Derrick Henry is not an attack downhill through the hole type of running back. He wants to find his way and then hit that acceleration button and get up on that second level and destroy dudes on the back end. But when you have a back like this, a big physical back that has the type of breakaway speed he has, the first thing a defensive line coach would tell his crew, make him shuffle his feet. Make him stop his feet. Do not allow him to hit the play design going full speed downhill where he sees an opening right away. Get hits on him. Make sure you're touching him if he does get through to your linebacker and secondary level. So it's going to be imperative. But I'd rather defend this than defend what the Ravens do.
I'm just trying to figure out how many trains in your life you've attempted to run down after that comment. So when I was in Houston with Gary Kubiak, we had a really good run game. It was with Arian Foster.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And I remember going into games that had really good cover corners, and Coops would always say, like, all right, they're great in coverage, but we're going to make them tackle early on, and we're going to try to get that unblocked defender to be a defensive back. So watch this corner and this safety, okay? You're going to get a down block and backside pullers. And look at all this area now that corner's got to make a decision now. Like, all right, not only do I have to be fast enough to chase him down, I got to be willing to go hunt him back. Like, go put your face on him right there. That's difficult for a corner to do. You're going to get another look. Okay, linebackers, we're going to take care of you guys. You guys are going to be a part of our blocking scheme. Corner, here it comes. This is that duo. Now pick a hole. You're going to put your face on me? Like, that's what they're going to challenge these Baltimore Ravens defensive backs to do. Look at that lane. That corner's supposed to be there trying to saw him off. So Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, like really good defensive backs. Marlon Humphrey's a good tackler as well, but great in coverage. Early on in this game, Tennessee's going to go, we're going to block those big fellas up, and we are going to see if those great covered corners are willing to tackle Derrick Henry early on. And if they won't, he's going to get 35 carries in this game. So they got to show up physically early.
Key, you heard Marcus say he didn't want to try to deal with this Ravens offense. So let's switch to this side of the ball with the Titans defense. You think that they can slow the Ravens down at all?
They've struggled stopping the run this year. And when you talk about a three-headed monster at Dobbins, along with Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson running the football, this is 3-1. Yes, they have Derrick Henry. But you got a guy that can hit the hole at quarterback that we've never seen before, Lamar Jackson. This is not a traditional running football team. You also got a powerful running back in Dobbins as well as Mark Ingram. So they got their work cut out for them. Dan, you mentioned corners tackling.
Yeah.
I know Marcus Peters and Humphreys and Smith will tackle. I don't know about the Titans guys. I don't know if they'll stick their head in there.
I also think it's really difficult. Not that tackling Derrick Henry is easy, but like the Titans might get in position, but tackling Lamar, like just actually tackling Lamar or tackling J.K. Dobbins on the perimeter would be so difficult. And Gus Edwards. Edwards brought like a physical aspect too. I think for a huge thing for Tennessee's defense will be stopping Mark Andrews.
And both of these teams have to get up, right?
They want to get a lead.
They got to get
just
a lead.
Stylistically.
Yes, you got to do it. You can't play from behind and think what you do running the football is going to help you catch up. It's not going to happen.
Marcus, go ahead.
A part of the issue, both of you guys are absolutely right. The issue you have with Baltimore is scheme as well as really elite runners of the football. Like Derrick Henry and Tennessee's gap and zone, that's not a detailed rushing attack. Key, when you and I was playing, we saw that. When Dan was playing, we saw those type of runs downhill. Baltimore, though, you look at
different.
It, they send you three different ways.
Yep.
You already trying to play eye control when the ball is snapped. And that's the issue that most people have, let alone, to you guys' point, trying to tackle them.
Yeah, lots of pre-snap motion from the Ravens, too. Hey, this Titans defense, by the way, has allowed opponents to convert on 52% of third downs this season. That's the worst mark by a team in over 30 years. It's not good. All right, so let's get to some injury updates before Super Wild Card Weekend with Dan Graziano. Dan, a lot of names with question marks this weekend. Let's start with the Saints and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara missed last week's game. He's on the COVID-19 list. Now, Sunday is the first day he's eligible to come off that list and rejoin the Saints. So great break for the Saints that they got a game on Sunday and not Saturday. Assuming he has not shown symptoms, assuming he can get a couple negative tests, he should be okay to come off the list and play in that game Sunday. His teammate, wide receiver, Michael Thomas. Remember, he was on injured reserve to rest that sprained ankle. He's supposed to practice on a limited basis today. The hope is for the Saints that they can get him through a good week of practice and have him back for that game and have that offense be at full strength. So Michael Thomas watched the practice reports for him this week. Same with Rams quarterback Jared Goff. Sean McVay, their head coach, said he's not going to announce a starting quarterback until game day. Goff coming off of that thumb procedure he had done that cost him last week's game. They're hoping he can come back, but they're still not sure. One bit of good news, wide receiver Cooper Kupp activated from the COVID-19 list today. So if Goff is back, he will have one of his favorite targets there to throw to. And then Jamal Adams, the Seattle safety, he hurt his shoulder in their last game. It's going to be sort of a day-to-day thing this week to see how much he can practice, if at all. The Seahawks believe it'll go right up to the end of the week before they can figure out if they're going to be able to have him to play for them this weekend in their playoff game.
Let's stick with that Seahawks-Rams game because there's a lot more to this game that we want to get to. With some quick reads here, we start with Marcus. Who's the most important player in the game?
Yeah, Dan Graz just talked about it. Look, you're gonna have to put Jamal Adams in a straitjacket. You think he ain't gonna play in this game? But the most important guy to me is Bobby Wagner. It's because Sean McVay makes your middle linebacker not only try to figure out what's happening, he also has to be great in space, and he has to be great what's behind him with all of these boots that they run. So Bobby Wagner.
Well, it's the next Megatron, right? It's the guy in DK Metcalf. He's got to show up to the party. Two games against Jalen Ramsey and the Rams, not so good statistically. 8 catches for a little bit over 80 yards. In his last 4 games, they won him, but he's been a little bit in witness protection. He's got about 20 catches for a little bit over 180 yards, and I believe he needs to show up for them to have a big game and win this one.
Yeah, mine's going to be my boy, Jared Goff. Oh. Listen, first of all, listen to your feet, find the hidden yardage. That check down right there on 2nd and 10, that's hidden yardage because it's going to equal 3rd and short to get you another first down. Second of all, trust your pocket because, again, Seattle will not cover the check down. Don't leave it too early. Find him. That's an easy throw. 5 times you got to do that this game. And then the first to 20 wins this football game, okay? 3rd downs, be great. When you got the shallow cross, get out in front. Key knows this. Give him a runner's ball. That's at least a first down, if not a touchdown. Jared Goff's got to have his best game of the season, and I expect him to.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Some news out of Miami. Dolphins offensive coordinator Chan Gailey resigned, so naturally the conversation turns to what kind of OC is needed with their young QB Tua Tagovailoa at the helm. This resignation comes less than 24 hours after head coach Brian Flores said he expected all his assistants back, barring any surprises. But here's the thing. Whoever takes over at offensive coordinator for the Dolphins will have to help Tua with his deep ball. On passes, 15-plus yards downfield this season, Miami's rookie ranked among the worst quarterbacks in the league in QBR, completion percentage, and yards per attempt. As you can see from that chart right there, the majority of the lefty's throws were to the left side of the field. Marcus, we watched him a ton in college. We've seen a lot of Tua Tagovailoa. You think he has an arm issue?
Oh, man, get the hell out of here. Where does he even come from?
It's not coming from me.
Where does him having an arm issue
I love you
even
again.
Come from? Look, Els, it's not geared towards you. You know that.
But well, you know it didn't come from me.
Like, we just – I know. That's what I'm saying. We just had this guy coming out of college as one of the best throwers we've ever seen. Here we are after a hip surgery a year or two removed from that. Now he can't throw the ball because he can't push it downfield. How about an offseason? How about not having to worry about – splitting time with Ryan Fitzpatrick? How about understanding that he needs to be surrounded with a few more pieces to give him an opportunity at success? Let's pump the brakes. I'm gonna take the advice of a well-known poet named Louis Riddick. It's time that we stop throwing all of these young quarterbacks to the wolves. I hear you loud and clearly, Lou, because I was doing it with Baker Mayfield a year ago. I hear you, Lou. So with Tua, I'm going to be a better man than I was last year. That's the key. Be a better person now than I was then. Give Tua some time to see if he can play damn quarterback in the NFL, please.
Yeah, remember, too, because of his hip injury, it had been a long time since he'd played football in general. Let's talk about the fact that Chan Gailey is gone, though, from Miami. Key, how does that affect Tua going forward?
I think it's going to affect him because they got to find the right person who understands exactly what Tua is and the strengths and weaknesses. Chan Gailey was one of the main people in that organization that jumped on the table to draft Tua because he saw some special, unique talents at Alabama. And Marcus is right. You do need players around you to be successful. Dan knows this as a quarterback. But watching that game last week against Buffalo, That ain't got nothing to do with the players throwing the ball over their head and throwing the ball to the other team and throwing the ball and bouncing it in front of people. It has nothing to do with those players. It has something to do with him understanding how to get better, how to continue to get better at it. And when you look at it, I wonder, and this is only you got to think about it. Do the Miami Dolphins, have Miami Dolphins in the front office and general manager Greer and Brian Flores sat back and said to themselves, maybe we should have drafted Justin Herbert? It's just a thought. That's all I'm saying.
Difference between the fifth and the sixth pick. So, you know, Herbert was right there. The Chargers got him with that next pick. It's an interesting thought.
You're going to make me fight him.
Well, go ahead. I wouldn't recommend it, though, Dan.
Well, why?
Because, like, dude with 65% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 5 picks with a subpar offensive line, subpar skill group, and subpar scheme. Here's the reality, because I don't like when people do this.
But let me ask you this, on that 65%, where was those balls going? Was it from me to you, or was it from me to the NFL side?
Yeah, no, but Keith, that's my thing. Don't ask somebody to be something that they're not, nor do things that they're incapable of. Are you a freestyler, or are you an executor? Right? That's how I kind of phrase some quarterbacks in the NFL. He's an executor. You know who else is? Drew Brees. He's not Russell Wilson when it comes to their freestyle football. He's Drew Brees. So build your football team specifically
yes, that would
your
be correct.
Offense like the Saints did. All right, so I wrote all these things down. Two is games, accuracy and timing, anticipation, ball out. And then it's the play action pass. You know who else is? Drew Brees. Drew Brees at almost 40 years old is number one this year in completion percentage and number two in QBR with balls 15 yards down the field. Why? Because they got a really good offensive line. So how do you build it? Build the offensive line inside out. In the last 10 years in New Orleans, in the first two rounds, they've drafted 6 offensive linemen, 2 wide receivers. You got the 3rd pick this year, Miami. Don't fall in love with the wide receivers. I love them just as much as anybody. Build the offensive line. Allow him to use motion, own the line of scrimmage, dominate with the play-action pass, pick people apart with his brain and his arm. Tua will be a great player if you do it the right way, Miami.
I hate to do you like this, Dan. No, Justin Herbert got some receivers, so you better get some receivers in Miami.
Well,
Key,
I'm so surprised that you would talk about receivers. Let's get to the Washington football team and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facing off on Saturday. Chase Young apparently not scared of Tom Brady, that's for sure. After Washington's NFC East clinching victory, Chase Young had one simple request.
Tom Brady, I'm coming. I want Tom.
Chase is a great young player. He went to Ohio State, so naturally I think the Ohio State-Michigan thing wears off on him a little bit. I understand that.
Yeah, maybe it's Ohio State-Michigan thing. I don't know. Maybe he was talking about a different Tom. I'm just kidding. All right, Keith, does this stuff affect Tom Brady?
I don't think it affects Tom Brady whatsoever. Chase Young isn't Tom Brady's issue. It's the offensive line. It's the protection. It's the tight ends. Those are the guys that has to take care of business. But what has happened here is Chase Young has now put pressure on the guys behind him. I remember in 2007 going up to New England, watching them against Pittsburgh, and Anthony Smith, the safety. He poked the bat.
Yeah.
He poked the goat.
Syracuse, right?
And they dialed that thing up on him constantly. Made him, look at that, Moss. It just made him. I remember pregame having a conversation with Moss and Brady. And Moss turned to me and said, we get ready to do something to that dude, man. So you got to be careful in what you wish for. And Bruce Arians kind of said that. So I think there's going to be a little bit of target on the entire defense's back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an outdoors person, so to speak, but I do know. If you're going to go on a hike, don't walk near a mama bear.
Smart.
That's how an offensive line is, right? Offensive linemen are protective of quarterbacks. And just be very careful because those 5 guys down in Tampa are going to look at Chase Young, great player, going to be a star in the NFL. You ain't going to touch Tom Brady. Not on their watch. They're going to take it personal. Offensive linemen that I've been around in the NFL locker rooms, they will take it personal that you've called out the GOAT. And at the end of the day, I'm not really paying attention to this game when it comes to the scoreboard. You know what I want to see? If the Washington defensive line is getting home, what's your adjustment, Tampa? That'll make me believe that you can beat New Orleans.
Well, they better have their damn mind right, because, look, let me tell y'all something. That offensive line know what's about to happen. They know what's coming into that building with Chase Young and Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne and Kerrigan. And look, listen, this is going to be the challenge, right? This is going to be the catalyst of winning this football game. I don't believe Washington football team offensively has enough.
Right.
But this defense can make plays and they can score against this offense if that offensive line is having a lot of problems. What I will say this too, like we went through 17 weeks and now we're about to enter the wild card game. You know what has happened all season long? People have had hell trying to block this Washington football team defensive line. So unless the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line about to become the old school, don't let anybody get to the quarterback, then yeah, Tampa will dominate this game. Tom Brady will be talking in the press conference after the game about, yeah, Chase Young called me out, but I went and balled out. But they better know they have their hands full, because this young defensive line, bro, they going to be serious for
I want to see if they're getting after them, do they adjust?
One of the main problems is Brady gets the ball out quick, though.
They got to keep him.
He does not hold on to the football.
They got
to
keep him clean, though, to Marcus's
point.
Yeah,
they remedy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Marcus, were you talking? Whatever. We're going to keep moving.
Ahead. All right. Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. Marcus. The numbers didn't like Frank Reich then. They don't like him this week either. ESPN's Football Power Index has the Bills as the favorites in this one, giving them a 68% chance to win. That shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, as arguably no team has been as hot as the Bills entering the playoffs. Since week 12, Buffalo ranks first in the league in points per game, points margin per game, and efficiency. In fact, they're the first team to enter the playoffs, winning six straight games all by double digits since the 2014 Seahawks, who ended up reaching the Super Bowl, of course, that season. And if you ask Sean McDermott, it's still not good enough, which is probably why they are where they are. Those numbers, though, are staggering. So how do the Colts slow down this Bills offense?
I think, first of all, Jonathan Taylor's got to have four carries on the other side that go over 15 yards. Second of all, Phillip Rivers has got to play a perfectly clean game. But that defense, they play zone defense, right? When you play zone defense, you got to listen to a quarterback's eyes. Wherever Josh Allen looks, those guys got to fire. They're tied to a string on his head. Watch these two defenders, right? Vision on the quarterback. Once that quarterback peaks a certain way, watch them put their feet in the ground and drive now. They're converging on the football before the quarterback's ever taken his hands off the ball. And then that rush, they got to keep him in the pocket and get home. Force him to his left. Do not allow him scrambling to his right. So those seven defenders, they got eyes on the quarterback, especially the second level guys, those three or four, depending on the coverage. Those guys got to have a string tied to their body, to the quarterback's head. When he stares that way, they go. And then that rush has got to get home. Now, on the other side, Josh has got to use that to his advantage, move people to open up some windows. But if the Colts do that, dominate in the run game, and Phillip plays clean, they got a chance.
I think Dan is right in terms of Josh's eyes, but those eyes are going to Stephon Diggs.
Right.
So the first thing you do is you take Stephon Diggs completely out of the game. Yeah, he'll make some catches, and he may get a few yards, but when he becomes your main target and your main weapon, you now make Josh Allen go to his second and third receiver, pull that football down, and if he decides to run, you know what you do? You hit him, and you hit him hard, because quarterbacks, no matter who they are and how athletic they are, they don't want to be hit. And that's how you get at them and slow things down.
Y'all, this up front to me, think about last time we saw the Indianapolis Colts in that second half giving up so many points to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. It's because they couldn't get any pressure on Big Ben. Like, there was – the pass rush was null and void. And if you thought about any team that you would want to have a lead, it would be the Indianapolis Colts. Because of DeForest Buckner and DeNico Autry and Grover Stewart and Justin Houston, like, that's what you want with premium pass rushers. They're going to have to be on full display in this game. And then they are going to make sure, have to make sure when Josh Allen does move and improvise and create and extend that they are able to wrangle him, keep him within some certain confines so he's just not out there playing freely. Like I said it, and y'all remember my frustration when I thought Matt Eberflus got real vanilla against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second half. This defense for the Indianapolis Colts was the calling card when we were talking about this team being a legit Super Bowl contender. The 68%, I think that's a bit high. This team has shown us that they could play at a high level like every other team in the NFL. But it's really going to boil down to not only those guys up front, but how effective they can be at keeping Josh Allen uncomfortable. Because, look, he just ripped the Miami Dolphins defense for 56 points.
Right.
Like, so it's difficult. You have to be able to keep him uncomfortable and off his spot.
Margaret, let me ask you a question. So I know you say, like, keep him in the pocket, right? Have you ever been on a defensive line or a plan that we know that Josh Allen is great scrambling to his right? Have you ever been a part of a plan that because of the way you rush as a defense or you blitz, you force the right-handed quarterback to only be allowed to go to his left? Like, have you been a part of that? Would that be something that they should do against Josh Allen?
Absolutely, Dio, and that's a great question. I'll even take you a step further. We designated certain guys in order to keep him from going a certain direction. A lot of times that when we had DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer, we would put Spencer to the side we didn't want the quarterback to go to and allow D. Ware to use his athleticism and try to sack him when he was forced that way. There's also defensive line games that you can run to force a quarterback to the way he doesn't want to go. So, yeah. They should have that as a part of their plan.
It's an interesting thought considering how comfortable Josh Allen has looked of late. New on NFL Live, guys, from ESPN Seahawks reporter Brady Henderson. Jamal Adams moments ago said this: no question in my mind, I'm playing. This game Saturday, the Seahawks taking on the Rams in Super Wild Card Weekend. Sounds like we will see Jamal Adams. New on NFL Live, and we've got Dan Graziano here to give us the latest. Maybe some good news for the Browns, Dan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, according to a source I just talked to, no high-risk close contacts were found when they did the contact tracing on the five people who tested positive earlier this week. So that's good news. If and when they are able to get back to practicing in person, there won't be anybody who has to stay away as a result of having been identified as a high-risk close contact. So continue to monitor the testing for the next couple of days, but that is a little bit of good news for the Browns, yes.
Yeah, still on track for this game, the Browns and the Steelers game to be played on Sunday night. And listen, Dan Graziano's here, so of course we're going to talk about the Cowboys, right?
One of us is going to break off.
Prescott strolls into the end zone. Deep shot. He's got a man. It's caught. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Yeah! Let's go!
Did you see this? Dak Prescott's brother, Tad, tweeting, "I am a Dak fan, plain and simple. And where he goes, I go." This from 4:21 a.m. today. So, Marcus, what do you make of Dak's brother's tweet there?
Subliminal. I think it's ironic that negotiations can open back up and we get this tweet from Tad Prescott. And one thing everybody should know, Lori, you know this, you covered Dak in college, how close-knit those brothers are.
Yes.
They do everything in unison. This ain't a situation where Dak hitting Tad up and being like, man, don't tweet stuff like that. I'm trying to go through a negotiation. This is not that. So, look, yes, I fell for it. Tad threw it out there. I went for the crumbs. And let me remind everybody, like, we always talk about the offer and all of those things, and everybody's under this perception that everything is hunky-dory. It's not. It's been too long. Usually when things drag along, usually when you don't give the lady the ring over some period of time, she realizes you don't want to marry her. Uh-oh. Or usually when you just go to ring shops and never buy one, she starts to figure out, this guy really doesn't want to be with me. Like, all of those things transpire. So that's where we are with the Cowboys. Jeez. I'm ready for an offseason of drama. I'm glad Tad put it out there because we're going to talk about it now. But don't think for 1 second that this just came out of the blue with this type of timing with the opportunity to open contract negotiations back up.
Yeah, so check this. So, and you guys know this. Like, when you get drafted into the NFL, one of the first things that goes through your mind is, how do I get to a second contract? How do I get, because that's everyone's goal, get to my second contract. Now,
yep.
Dak's drafted in the fourth round, maybe a little bit different than, like, Key, when a first rounder probably thinks, like, something different. Like, all right, how do I build this? But, like, most guys that aren't drafted that super early, they're like, just let me get to a fourth contract, because then I've beaten the odds. Well, we know that's happening for Dak, right? Like, the big fish contract, it's coming. So now I think he's going to ask himself, like, what do I want? What do I really want over the next 10 years? Is it going to be legacy? Is it going to be multiple Super Bowl championships? Because I think if it is legacy and multiple Super Bowl championships, he's got to say, well, what have the Cowboys proven that they can do to help me get that? They couldn't build a good team around you when you were cheap. Now you're fixing to be expensive. What makes you think that they can do that enough around you when you cost them the most?
Fixing to be expensive, you would think that Dan was not from Connecticut. Dan Graziano, remind us how much control Jerry truly has over Dak's future contract situation.
Yeah, he can keep him in Dallas just by franchising him again this year. That's a possible thing. And I'd be shocked if the Cowboys did not do that. I mean, unless there's a contract signed between now and the deadline to apply the franchise tag, I fully expect that that's what the Cowboys will do to keep him off the market and continue the negotiations, which, you know, look, they could reopen as of this past Monday, you know, 2 days ago, and they continue to want to sign him. But to Jerry's point, I mean, Dak has leverage, and he had leverage last year, and that's a big part of the reason why they didn't get to an agreement on a contract last year. The franchise tag is leverage for the owners, but if a player is willing to take the leap, the franchise tag can be a bit of leverage for the player as well. We saw it with Kirk Cousins at the end of his time in Washington. It worked out well for him, obviously, financially, and Dak could be headed down that same road, which, yes, would mean that he ends up somewhere other than Dallas, but I do think it's too soon for anyone to be real, real worried about that.
Dan, here's the quote from Jerry Jones. I don't know how you can have any more leverage.
Right.
Any more leverage. He's saying that basically, the way I read it, is they've already offered him a huge contract. Now, the terms and stuff like that didn't go as well as Dak Prescott and his representatives wanted, because Jerry wants 5 years, they want four. Jerry wants to be able to stretch the money out opposed to having it all in the first 3 years. I understand that. But also, what I don't understand is, if you're Dak Prescott and your contract is there and you're getting all this money, in 4 years on a 5-year deal, by the time you get to four, if you're any good, they're going to extend you, because the fifth year cap number is going to be so big that they've got to renegotiate, bring the money forward, and extend you out, like we've always seen in the National Football League. 4 years, if you hit free agency on a 4-year deal and you're not any good, nobody's going to pay you anyway. So why not take a 5-year deal, get all of the guaranteed money that you can get, and then move forward from there? I don't understand it.
Marcus, if I had to nail you down right now, you think that Jerry holds on to Dak Prescott?
Look at his
face. He's going to franchise him. He's going to franchise him, but I'm not sure if a contract is going to get done. And I'm going to sit in this same damn seat months from now, weeks from now, and tell y'all Dak shouldn't sign a tender. Shouldn't sign the tender. I'm going to tell y'all that.
So why do you think he's going to get franchised then?
No, they can franchise him. He can choose not to sign it. That's my point.
Right. Yeah.
But let me go further. Now you're dealing with a quarterback that made $31 million last year as well. All of us have to remember, before Dak signed that first franchise tender, he hadn't made any money in comparison to the type of quarterback that he was.
But
now he's coming off a year where he made $31 million and was able to sit back and see a lot of things transpire in Dallas.
Yeah, Marcus, he secured his future, no question. But if he doesn't sign that franchise tag and that thing goes all the way into June and he doesn't sign it, nothing he can do. He has to sit out the entire year. No one knows what he is, if he's hurt, this, that, and the other. That's too much risk,
If he wants to go win Super Bowls, he should get out of Dallas.
There you go. All right. We'll have a lot more time to talk about this, I promise, guys. Time for one more thing before we go today. And this is about Trevor Lawrence, as he has officially announced he's going to go pro. So we'll see Trevor Lawrence, I believe, be the number one overall pick and go into the Jaguars when the NFL draft comes our way in 2021. I do want to say I think he deserves a ton of credit for the way that he represented himself and the way that he represented Clemson. He's been a guy that I think will live on as one of the great quarterbacks that we've seen in college football, but Dan has a lot of greatness coming his way as well in the pros.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get a special talent and also a special player. He's been remarkable at the college level. He's dealt with a lot of limelight, which he's going to deal with, and he's ready to go be the CEO of a billion-dollar company. He'll be a special
Dan,
player.
Jacksonville just traded the pick.
Oh, come on, Keith.
Cowboys.
Drama. He's breaking news here. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.